You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And sticking with those data points that we discussed with Nick, the inflation prints that came out today, we got South African inflation that suggests that inflation has come in below the midpoint for the first time in a very long time. And we thought we'd take a look at that and see what that means for the overall picture in SA, but also potentially for that re-anchoring conversation that we don't really want to have with the Reserve Bank governor. I'm joined on the line by the macroeconomist and fixed income strategist at Matrix Fund Managers, Kim Silberman, to take a look at this. Good evening, Kim. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the U.S. picture. Obviously, that is such a central picture and has been so instrumental and pivotal to how other central banks are making their decisions. And we know we've got that U.S. central bank decision, or the U.S. Fed rates announcement a little later on this evening. Are we feeling optimistic?
Good evening, Jimmy. Yes. I mean, it depends what you're expecting. So I think I reckon they'll cut by 25 basis points, but the market is hoping for something between 25 and 50. So either way, I suppose they might be disappointed. But it's the start of a rate cutting cycle, and I think that's really, from a macro perspective, that's important that we've turned a corner, and it means that the SARB can also turn a corner.
Kim, when we look at that conversation around the SARB turning a corner, let's look at the inflation picture. We got our inflation print in for the first time, bang in line with where it should be and where is comfortable for the SARB. But as we know with these data points, they tend to come in a little later. They're sort of lagging behind, or they take a bit of time to actually be felt in the market in real time. So when we look at the latest inflation print, is that going to give comfort to the SARB, or are they going to want to see more data that suggests that inflation is under control?
No, I think, we've had a massive drop in inflation. It's come down from 7.8%. To 4.5% or just below. So I from that perspective, from an inflation perspective, I think since the May meeting, the SARB itself has commented or stated that our monetary policy is restrictive. So they're well aware that it's restrictive, and their major concern was that US rates were also high. And the differential between our rates and the U.S. rates determines the strength of the currency. I mean, there are other things that determine the strength of the currency, such as commodity prices and our structural risks. But a big part of our currency is to do with that differential between our interest rate and the U.S. interest rate.
Go ahead, Kim.
No, I'm just saying, so because we could have cut, I think, earlier, but the SARB was very well aware that it needed to maintain that differential, and so it has been waiting for the Fed to start cutting.
Looking at that differential, if the Fed comes out tomorrow with 50 basis points as a cut, we kind of don't see more than 25 basis points from a South African perspective. What does that do towards the differential? I imagine it skews it ever so slightly in favor of the rand, but is it to the detriment of consumers?
Yeah, no, you're right. It does. And, I think not really. That's not, as with economics, it's not a straight answer. But essentially, if you have a stronger rand, then that's good for consumers. And I think what's important to bear in mind when we try and understand the SARB and its communication and its decisions, we need to think about the consumer in a disaggregated way. So for the SARB, there's 20 million people in South Africa that are on social grants, and around 30 million that probably are not exposed to mortgage debt and exposed to high interest rates. And so for that sector of the economy, it's really inflation that allows that the largest portion of our consumers to spend more. So the lower inflation is the food, fuel, public transport, rent, all of those things have come down because of high interest rates, and the majority of our population benefit from that. Maybe it's at the expense of those with debt, but I think our Reserve Bank is a lot more concerned about those who are closer to the breadline than those who have debt.
Kim, when we look at the SARB conversation, we've heard before that the governor wants to revisit this re-anchoring conversation from a long-term perspective to no longer consider 4.5% as the midpoint, but to actually bring that down potentially between the 2 to 3% range. When we compare that with things like the uninverting yield curve in the US that suggests that we could be in for a US recession at some point, How do we understand this data? How is it important for the SARB to then, one, look at our own alignment of policy, but also the timing around that and say, if we are to see a US recession, is now the best time to be adjusting this, or should we be looking at this at another time?
So I mean, if we did see a US recession, I think the oil price would come down. So, from that perspective, it would be easier to target a lower inflation rate. But I also, from an economic perspective, targeting a lower inflation rate makes a lot of sense. Our trading partners are also at 3% inflation, and that would really protect the value of the currency. And I think maybe what isn't as well publicized in the media, as if the SARB had to lower the target to 3%, it would do so over a period of 3-4 years. And if we think about what that would mean in 4 years' time, is that, you know, if you lower the inflation target by 1.5 percentage points, you can then lower the interest rates on a structural basis by 1.5 percentage points. So you would, over 4 years, I would reckon if you targeted a 3% inflation rate, you could have much lower inflation and lower interest rates and more certainty and investment because lower inflation and rates feeds through into so many parts of the economy in a positive way.
In addition to the investment side of it, from a positivity perspective, what would lower rates then mean for things like economic growth? I mean, we have greater capital investment, certainly, but businesses in South Africa that are in debt would also have an easier time, surely.
Yes, correct. And those consumers that I was referring to, those who are not employed on social grants, whose salary and income does not increase with inflation at the best of times. So they would really benefit from lower inflation as well. But it's also around if you've got low inflation, that feeds into a stronger currency, it feeds into lower debt costs for our government. And as you said, it provides a whole lot of certainty to investors who are then not, you know, they're not trying to cope with a volatile inflation rate going forward.
Certainly a very interesting perspective around what the future of South Africa could look like under a different inflation targeting mechanism or inflation targeting mandate. We'll leave it at that. Kim, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Kim Silberman, who is a macroeconomist and fixed income strategist at Matrix Fund Managers, joining me to take a look at the inflation picture in South Africa as well as around the world.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.